Before I introduce my co-hosts, I have something to say.
I'm sitting here with bated breath waiting.
Oh god, are you gonna read the poem?
I'm going to read a little bit of the poem.
All right.
Turning and turning in the white.
No.
What?
Yes.
That's my literature voice.
No, I don't need a literature
turning
voice.
Turning and turning. Greetings, savory inferiors, and welcome to Vampire Insider, the unofficial podcast dedicated to recapping and reacting to AMC's Immortal Universe, including Interview with the Vampire and the Mayfair Witches. In each episode, hosts Joanne Palumbo, Christina LaRusso, and myself, Mark Snedeker, summarize the episode, talk about Easter eggs, discuss standout characters and their arcs, explore some of the predominant themes, and identify the best magic moment in a segment called Witch Please. Join us now as we dive into Episode 8, What Rough Beast. Before I introduce my co-hosts, I have something to say. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. So that's from William Butler Yeats' 1919 poem, The Second Coming, with the famous line, "What rough beast now slouches towards Bethlehem?" It's a very apocalyptic poem written in post-World War I Europe, and it evokes a lot of revelations and just a lot of doom and gloom, which, honestly, we're all feeling right now. Hello, Joanne Palumbo.
Hi, Mark Snedeker.
Hi, Christina.
Hi.
Hi,
everyone.
Hi, Christina.
So, I guess the season's over.
Is it? We're missing an hour.
Well, yeah. So, on the Immortal Universe AMC's Twitter page, they said, please enjoy the two-hour finale, which we timed, and it's only 2 hours if you watch the finale and then listen to our podcast. It was only 1 hour.
It was 50 minutes, actually, on the app, because we didn't get any commercials.
You know what, Joni? I really want to hear what you have to say about this episode. You've been so positive all season. You've been in love with this series, both written and televisual. Please tell me your hot take.
It was just as disappointing as the first 7 episodes. Yes, we got a couple of things answered, but did we really not know? You know, we kind of knew who was involved with Deirdre's murder. We knew who Rowan's real father was. I struggled, as usual, to find something redeeming about the entire episode. And normally I can, but with this episode, I can't. And it also doesn't help that I'm really pissed off that they strung people along. And I think it was done by design to keep people watching, that there was going to be some sort of crossover.
I think what happened was the person who was going to be in the crossover called up Esther Spawn. It's like, yeah, this is Sam. I'm not coming on. I don't like the show. I'm going to stay home. Maybe have a steak.
Crikeys, I ain't doing it.
I was as disappointed as Joanne in the reveal that there was no crossover person. Today, we are recording on the 24th. There's some talk on Twitter that it was potentially like a joke that people took too seriously. Like she meant the goat. There was a goat that Louis chased, and then there was a white goat that was.
Yeah, I don't find it funny that they did that.
It wouldn't be funny. No, it wouldn't be funny. And then there's somebody else who has recently discovered that there's an actor who was in both series. And I forget which role they played. I think it was the desk clerk in Mayfair Witches when she checks into the hotel.
Nope, you don't get away with that either.
And then he played a different character in Interview.
Yeah, zombie number 5 in the background and desk clerk don't count as a crossover. Sorry.
I've been looking forward to it because I thought that could actually set a tone for season 2 and how the universe is all going to work together. But maybe they're not going to do that. Maybe after this first season of Witches, they've decided, you know, we maybe just going to keep these two separate. And hopefully they'll each get their own Twitter page next year, because this episode was disappointing all the way around. There are some elements that, had it been done more carefully, could have been interesting. And we'll get into it as we talk more in depth about the character arcs that that is not enough to have made this a successful episode. It was just weird and didn't work for me.
It was, let's just say, it was a bit of a hot mess. They've decided to introduce a bunch of new powers, like apparently becoming a Medusa. And the season is just kind of a bit off the rails. You know, there's like moments of hope and talent shining through. And again, I think Harry Hamlin was excellent. He did exactly what he should have done.
But now he's a statue. Their two best actors now are gone.
Yeah. But it could be a strategy. They're like, look, we've already been approved for season two. Nowhere to go but up. Whatever you see in season two, we've lowered expectations. You'll just be pleasantly surprised.
I hope so.
Christina, I'm sorry to put this on you, but you have to do the episode summary.
So we start out where we left off. Rowan has called to Lasher.
Can we be more accurate? She shrieked and screamed for Lasher.
Oh, I can't take that voice.
She's never just gone, Lasher.
Here, Lasher. Come here, Lasher. Good boy.
Right? It's always like, me la porra, me wally.
It just would have been more powerful if she had done it from a place of like porra. Cold rage. Me Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know that we have to go to the whisper yet.
Oh, yes.
No, but anyway.
You know what? She should have done it in a Batman voice. Me, Labora, for justice.
All right. Actually, the things that I was paying attention to in this episode through the second watch were things like the cinematography and the editing. And they're doing some good work.
Yeah, like the run through the forest.
Keith running through the forest was shot in a really beautiful way.
Not since Hungry Like the Wolf have we seen such a good forest run.
That's right. You're not wrong. It did kind of remind me of that. So he's running through like a swampy
mangrove of something. Yeah.
Yeah. Rowan is pursuing him with her wounded arm or wounded shoulder. And all of a sudden Lasher is there and he says, you summoned me, let me do it. And she says, go find him.
Get him.
And so then you see Lasher, his essence of whatever, like fog or what, I don't even know.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on that.
When he just vanishes, it kicks up a breeze.
A breeze. Right. Well, he's very in tune with the weather. Yeah. That we know.
In charge of all the elements, apparently.
All of them.
That's wild. So he takes off and he is now pursuing Keith for Rowan.
Right.
And Rowan decides to just lay down on the ground. She can't stand up anymore because she's so weak.
Yeah.
And she's noticing sort of the bugs around her.
So that was a little heavy-handed, but at least they were trying to show kind of the cycle of life, the return to Earth type of thing while she's laying there ostensibly dying,
bleeding out,
a minor shoulder wound. But you know, you see like, you know, things decaying and insects tearing them apart, whatever. Okay, I'm okay with that. Yeah. It's not great, but it was fine,
right? And Keith finds a little hut in the woods.
Yeah, because when I'm running from witches, I'm like, oh, this hut will protect me.
Dude, that thing couldn't even stop sunlight.
No. If Lasher would have sneezed, the hut would have fell down.
This was not sturdy.
I hate to tell you this, my little pig. The wolf is definitely getting in.
He did not pay attention to that story. So anyway, Lasher does find him.
That was terrible. Did you pause it and look at Lasher's eyes?
Oh, no.
Cheap special effect. Like whatever you could see, like the contact lens kind of like bulging out. Yeah. I'm like, what is this?
They both have the eyes. So Rowan was seeing this through Lasher's eyes. That's how they, you know, she's seeing when his eyes roll back.
That's
and so
drone Lasher.
Yeah.
And then she goes, finish him.
Yeah. I was like, is this Mortal Kombat? I mean, I love
finish
that
him.
Yeah. Fatality.
So there's no confrontation at the end. There's no nothing like that. Lasher just starts the structure on fire. Yeah. And yet again, this was a bad fire special effect. Yeah. He's screaming, but that's it. So you don't see him anymore. And now what? That's the end of the Knights of
America.
That's
the end of the Kiwanis.
Yeah.
Dead.
Wiped out. Yeah.
All right. So at this point, Lasher goes back to Rowan. She says, I'll pass out before I can crawl out of here.
Right.
So he says, look into yourself. And I get it. Like all the answers are there. Yeah. I mean, you know, so she does. And what has always been, I always thought it was like
she's going through arteries. Yeah.
But it's not. She's going through some kind of underground tunnel.
Oh, okay. So hold on real quick. Cause that I was confused when Estes Spalding said, we've seen her go through this all season long. And I'm like, fuck, was I really not paying that attention that I didn't notice?
Yeah.
So you're telling me there wasn't these tunnels. It was just the arteries we were seeing.
No, we thought they were arteries. But they were I thought that they were arteries.
But there wasn't like these blatant scenes with these tunnels that I missed.
No.
All right. I was like, damn, man, you suck at your job. You've got one job. Watch the show.
No, but I thought that was arteries. But evidently.
I think some of them definitely were arteries.
I don't know. I got to go back.
I feel like maybe it's kind of like with our podcast. Christina's like, did I cut that out or not? I can't remember.
I got to go back and watch it. But at any rate, in this episode, she is going inside herself and she's walking through.
But not in a gross way.
Tunnels.
Yes.
All right. That are underground and have like roots and it's all the trees. And so is this a reference? And then what it kind of reminded me of is the opening credits where the roots are coming through the walls and stuff like that. So like the family tree and, you know.
Right, which is.
And there was some neat hieroglyphics.
Family wreath.
Yeah. And well, I think it was like runic writing, right?
It definitely
was. Of course,
you
know the actual language. I'm just saying. Hieroglyphics.
So what it said was on the walls as you're walking in, it said.
Listen to Vampire Insider.
Yeah, maybe it did.
Said, invite us in.
Oh, you know what it really said? Drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah. All right, so outside of this situation that's happening, then we have a little conversation between Sip and Albrecht.
Yeah.
They're standing on this bridge expecting to see something big happen, but what are they? They're just having a conversation. They don't seem to, at that point, care if anything is happening.
Oh, there's a fire. He's like, oh, I see a little fire over there.
And so Sip decides he's going to trick Albrecht, and he says, sir, I'm very sorry that I lost my cool. They go to shake hands on this.
Albrecht, the elder of the Talamasca, is like, oh, I totally forgot you had that power. Fuck.
Yeah, didn't notice he took his glove off.
And they shake hands. And this is when Sip realizes that Albrecht is the guy who can actually do the erasing.
He's the mind eraser.
Now we have the answer to who cleared the memories from the elevator where Deirdre was killed. Then Sip says to him, but hey, you can't erase my brain because I'm a part of the prophecy.
And Albrecht goes, you're right.
At the witching hour, over the bones of the four mothers, I will embody a form with power that has never been seen before. The 13th witch is the doorway.
Albrecht agrees. Okay, yeah, you're right. You do have to play a role in this.
Hold on. That's after he just said for like two episodes, we just watch. Now he's like, okay, yeah, I can go be a part of it.
Well, and what he really means is we just watch. Ish.
So then we're back with Rowan and she goes into Suzanne's house somehow in this like dream state.
Correct.
Lasher is there with her. She's walking around in the house. She says, what is this? Well, he says, this is my language. And then she says, teach me. The dialogue is so poor. He says, well, you have now control over everything that I have control over. What do you want to explore? She lights a fire on her hand again.
She loves that trick.
She does. It's like, I'm going to do parlor tricks. I have these great massive powers and I just want to really hold a flame on my hand.
And that was the part though, when she got super horny was right after she lit the fire and realized like, you know, oh wow, I'm pretty powerful. And then she's like, let's just stay here a while.
Yes, yes.
And then they banged.
That actually has character integrity. Remember back when Lasher had her dress up in the outfit and go down and dance with him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he said, with the cake, okay? And we've been joking about it. She wants power and she wants cake. And that's what he said. You want to have, I don't think he used the word power. He used a different word. But essentially it was, you want power. So that has some integrity with her character. That's, you know, that's kind of becoming a constant. Rowan wants power. She wants control. She wants to be in control of her own. And she says so, you know, she doesn't want Lasher for the longest time. She wants to have her power and be powerful on her own.
Yeah.
Well, now here she is. She's feeling powerful. Back in the real world, we have JoJo and Cortland at Cortland's home. JoJo takes the phone call. She reports to Cortland Tessa is dead.
Nobody bats an eye.
And everybody else there is dead too. Cortland realizes Rowan has done this.
Cortland was like, well, where's Rowan? Are they with Rowan? Is Rowan okay? And JoJo says, why are you so obsessed with Rowan? And he goes, call them back. And then she was like, no, tell me, you know, I've done things for you. You're going to tell me why you're so obsessed. And he's like, give me my phone. And then the scene ended. Like, is that like, did they miss sections? Is that like the other hour we're not getting?
That's the other hour we must be not getting. And then at some point, what's his name? Cortland leaves.
Yeah.
Or goes to a different room or something. He's not with. He storms out. And then JoJo is sitting outside vaping. Yeah. And here comes Sip. And Sip says, I'd like to talk to Cortland. And she's like, okay, I'll get him for you. And then here comes Sip into the library or whatever it is. And he's touching different objects.
The mask.
We saw the rape of Deirdre.
And the murder killing of
the guy.
Whatever his name was.
The young man that was there.
Yeah, saw Suzanne clipping herbs in the forest because he had her scissors. There was that weird doll or whatever that was, that flashback to some memory of someone packing stuff up. And I was wondering if that packing up scene was when they were forced to leave Haiti.
Yeah, could be.
The pipe, he held up the pipe or he touched the pipe and it just showed Cortland
smoking. All right. Well, okay. What a shocking memory. I held up a pipe and I saw somebody smoking it.
Because that pipe was meant to be Julian's.
Right.
So you would have thought. So then she comes down and she says, what did you just see? I know you saw something. I know that look on your face, JoJo. So Sip says, well, I saw Cortland is Rowan's father.
She's like, no. No. Chad is.
She's like, the hell he is.
She's like, fuck you.
Chad is Rowan's father.
Yeah. She goes, it was some young man she met at a party. Well, no, it wasn't. And so then she was like, wait a minute. The night that she was killed, Deirdre was wearing my dress. Oh, so.
He set her up.
So she goes, I never understood it.
We still don't.
Sip demands to see Cortland. She says, well, I don't know. He's gone and I don't know where. All right. So then she says, there's a suggestion, go to the Mayfair house. Like she's going to go and help him. And Sip touches the ancestor doll. Okay. So he touches it.
At the witching hour, over the bones of the foremothers, I will embody a form with power that has never been seen since the last kiss tour. The 13th witch is the revolving doorway. I think that's how it goes.
No, so he sees
that. She's like, the crypt, right? That's where the bones of the foremothers are.
Right.
We got to go to the crypt.
So we got to go to the crypt.
Which, you know, great detective work there. That was good.
But she doesn't go because the other one stops her and she stays for tea.
And here's where Dolly says, yeah, I knew, always knew Cortland was a dick.
We always knew that. Yeah. Right? We just didn't know that he was a murderous dick.
Right.
An incestuous, murderous dick.
Right.
Right.
Rapist, bad guy.
We find out, too, that Cortland organized the killing, right?
Because he wanted to hurry up the prophecy.
He wants to hurry up the prophecy. How did he find a hitman that quickly?
I mean, Christina, you're going to tell me you don't have a hitman on speed dial?
Really? I mean, well,
you're
Italian.
I have, I'm not, and I have four just on my LinkedIn.
So. Right. I mean, God, don't act like you don't have them. So, you know, that's not weird.
What we see now is Rowan's body that's unconscious.
Yeah.
Which, did they really have to show her laying there 13 times so that we could get the idea that this is all happening in her head?
He grabs her and he's pulling her towards his car. Now, this is a man who's dying of ALS.
Right, but he's found some hidden strength.
And he's pulling Rowan through the woods.
Who probably weighs about $130.
And how could he find her?
Yeah.
In the middle of the woods like that.
Maybe Alfonso did a locator spell for him.
Did he bring out the Pyrex baking dish?
No, they're very much into making this a modern current show. So he's probably like, find my iPhone, right?
Oh, yeah. Maybe she dropped him a pin.
It could be.
All right. So he gets her. She's in the car. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take you, clean you up, and get you ready.
Get you dressed.
Right. Which, here we go. So,
you know, he took some liberties when he was getting her dress.
All right. So what happens in the past? So now we're back in the past. All that banging went on. She woke up. He didn't even leave a note.
He ghosted her ass.
Lasher is gone.
Should have been a note like, went out to get smokes. Be right back. Text me if you want a coffee.
Joe, you sound like you've had some experience with these kinds of notes.
Do you want a hoagie?
I will neither confirm nor deny that, Christina.
All right. So all of a sudden the room starts closing in. There's like this creeping black roots or thing.
Black mold or something.
And
no. But before that, her belly starts growing and she lets out her scream. So
there's a very unfortunate confluence of the sound of the mold creeping into the room, which is like sounds like a creaking tree, and her growing belly. And I'm like, yeah. Why is her belly making that noise? That's not okay. It shouldn't be making any noise.
Yeah. So she's screaming. God, she spent a lot of time in this episode screaming.
Look, Rowan, I mean, she's earning her money in this episode. So, it's like my vocal cords were exhausted after this.
So she then goes running out of that house and into another room. And here's where she's sort of going through seeing a host of the other Mayfair witches, right. the witch, her ancestors.
Lasher says to her, make sure you follow this path of your ancestors. And when she's in the first room, she shouts in that awful voice, what did you say? What did you mean? Answer me. Like,
where are you?
It's just awful, awful. I'm sorry, but
she's so frantic.
Alexandra Daddario, I loved you in White Lotus, but girl.
So she goes running through these rooms, and we see very brief scenes with these previous Mayfair witches. I could guess at maybe one of them. I know that one of them was Julian.
Yeah.
She identifies.
Because he was a guy.
I know that she identifies Antha.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of others. One looked like it was the voodoo priestess. Yeah. But they're all looking at clocks. And what is happening, we learn from Dolly in the present, is that Lasher, he's about to be born, but his time, his gestation is marked in hours, not months. Finally, she ends up with Deirdre. Now, right. Deirdre talks to her. The others didn't seem to realize she was there, but Deirdre talks to her.
They're just fucking around with clocks. Yeah.
They're just like, didn't I die 4 episodes ago? Why are they making me come back?
She turns to Rowan and says, you know, he's coming. Rowan ends up back in the mausoleum now.
Yeah. And Cortland's like creeping around.
Well, yeah, he's creeping in the hallway, but he just like kind of dumps her and he's like, and where did he get the same outfit that she had on in the dream?
So, I mean, look, let's not act like I don't have a couple of shifts hanging in my closet here just in case.
Like, was he shopping at like Scottish Wiccans R Us? Like, what the frig?
Yeah, exactly.
Suzanne is going to help her through the labor.
Yeah.
And she says, well, I'm not
a midwife.
She says, I'm not in labor. And then all of a sudden another scream because she's, you know, like, she's in labor.
Spoke too soon, girl.
Oh God. Suzanne is helping her with that. And she has the baby.
Bouncing little boy.
She gives Rowan the baby, who is supposed to be Sip's baby.
He's very, very light skinned to be Sip's baby.
We're definitely going to talk about that.
So he is in Rowan's arms, and then Rowan's like, oh, my baby. And then all of a sudden, its face starts deforming.
You know, maybe don't spend the money on that CGI. Put it into the fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me some little bit better fire. And we can just like flash back to the baby. He's like, oh, he's bigger now, right? Yeah. That would have been fine.
So Rowan finds that horrifying and leaves him. And she starts to run through some hallway in the mausoleum, which looks massive. And here comes Cortland.
Just creeping around.
He's creeping around. And he had kind of been watching the birth from the sidelines, but then he followed her down this hallway. And they have their confrontation. And
how'd that go for him?
It did not go well. So it turns out that one of the rewards that Lasher gave him for all of this help he's been providing is immortality.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is a pretty major power to give to Lasher, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. That Lasher can bestow immortality. And the baby comes crawling in. So the baby right. is...
Which, okay. That I'm actually super okay with, because as we know, a Taltos develops very quickly. Yeah. Like in 2 days, they're young adults.
Yeah.
Right.
So you think season 2, episode 1, he's going to be learning how to drive?
He's going to be in college. Right.
Now, is he going to be Lasher?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
It's a good question. He may be. He is Lasher, but honestly, I don't know.
Like, is Jack Houston done?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't.
Is he gonna like one day turn around like she's gonna go in the baby's room and in the crib, Lasher's gonna be sitting there.
He's gonna be
there.
Like bulging out with his arms sticking out through the slats.
You can be like, I gave you power, now fuck me, mommy. Like, oh, what goes on?
Oh well, they do.
In the books,
they do fuck. All right, so
and nurse exhaustively.
Oh, Courtland says, "Hey, let me just take him off your hands.
I got him.
Yeah, I got this. You don't want this.
Just
this
abandon
is too much.
This infant.
There's I'm too much.
Very responsible as an adult. I've made so many babies. You don't even know.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the one to take care of this. And
lick grandpa daddy, uncle.
Give the baby to grampy.
Yeah. And he said, and she says, no, I don't. You're not gonna do that. And she said, you don't understand all the powers I have, because at this point she knows the power. I mean, she's really into this power that she has.
You know who else doesn't understand all the power she has? The writers.
Right.
Yeah.
So he says, do your worst. And she tries to,
The lens flare.
The lens flare, and it doesn't work. And he says, aha, he gave me immortality. And then she's like, hold my beer. And she turns him into a rock, into a statue.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is he alive in there?
That's what I'm thinking, because he's immortal, right? And she didn't like blow on him till he like fell down to dust or something. I think he's just trapped in there in his consciousness.
Now, something else is happening. Odette.
That was ridiculous.
Postnatal Odette is at Sip's house. And she's rifling through his many drawers full of gloves.
Yeah, that's what I was saying as she was opening them up. She's like, gloves.
Gloves.
Fuck, where's that? More gloves. It's like just all gloves.
So she goes over to the one junk drawer that he has. Yeah.
With mismatched gloves, the one he lost the other one of.
Sip's like, damn it, how did I lose that? But anyway, so she finds a Talamasca card. So she calls the number and she gets the receptionist.
Right.
And
Talamasca, please hold.
And she says, well, you know, my brother, and I'm looking for him. Well, no, he doesn't exist, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, I don't think she said that, but yeah, no one by that name here.
Gaslighting Odette. And so that's it. So and she says no.
She almost cracked for like a second, I think. She's like,
well, because remember,
she likes Sip.
Yeah. And she's worried that something might have happened. Well, then she contacts them. Oh, there's been a breach. Well, by that, Arjuna and Albrecht show up at Sip's place.
Yeah.
And they wipe Odette's memory.
Yeah.
And then Arjuna, she knows she's going to have her memory wiped as well.
It's like, I'm glad you understand.
I mean, they're in this very serious moment. And a call comes through. And he's like, I got to take this.
Hold on, it's my bank.
I got to take this.
There's somebody calling about my car warranty. I need to talk to them.
Yeah, oh, my God. It's Sip calling Albrecht and saying, you know, he's going to go telling him where he is and what he's going to do. Albrecht comes back and he says, well, hang on a minute. Mm-hmm. Is she lactating?
She's
he wants to wrap her up as a titty juice bar to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he does. He's like, okay, call transport.
Right.
So now I'm telling you, the scope of the Talamasca in this, they have a transport department.
Of course.
Holy.
They're huge.
All right. So Sip sees Rowan outside. She comes out of the mausoleum and hears Sip. They have a conversation. He's like, come on, let's go. I'm here for you. And then she's a little suspicious. And then he's like, you look tired. Give me the baby.
Oh, dude. First of all,
come on.
First of all, in trying to trick somebody 101, you definitely, first lesson is don't say, hey, you can trust me. Just, you know, let me help you out. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just so nakedly sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Even Rowan could figure it out.
Oblivious Rowan caught on.
And so she's got the baby and he's like trying to get the baby from her, which she realizes. And she says, no way, you're not taking my baby.
Right.
You're not going to do to me what they did to my mother. And Sip at this point has now turned into somebody that wants to literally take her baby.
It was like, I didn't even recognize him.
I know. It was the weirdest turnabout. And he says to her, he's manipulating you. He's in your mind. And she says, I've got all these powers now.
Right.
And she starts almost having lightning electrocute him.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's doing this. And she said, no, I'm doing that. She won't give him the baby. And she ends up walking away
into the rain with a newborn.
Sip just gives up.
Yeah. Good job, Sip. Way to hang in there. Well, to be fair, she did cheat on him. So, I mean, you know, maybe it's time for the full clip.
I mean, for sure. But also now he's suddenly going to take her baby. Yeah. I don't know. All right. So that's the recap.
I think the best line in the whole show was when Harry Hamlin started singing, "First I was afraid, I was petrified." Oh, no. All right, that didn't actually happen, but if I was running the show, it super would have.
All right.
So I know this is going to be a tough one for us today, but this is the section of the podcast where we're going to say, what the actual fuck? Joni, give me one of your what the actual fuck moments.
We know we were just talking about the ending of the episode with Sip. It was like all of a sudden he was a completely different person. And I just sat there and I literally was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Did you have a whiplash?
I did. I just felt like what I thought was going to happen for me was that when he found Rowan, he was going to, you know, betray the Talamasca and be like, let's go. They want your baby. Like,
right.
They're on to shoot. Like, this is what happened. And, you know, they were going to walk away together. But no, he turned into like Carlotta Jr. and was like, give me the baby. I know what's best. And it didn't fit with the entire arc.
Yeah, he just fell short of calling the baby my precious.
Right. But it didn't fit the entire arc of the character of Cyprian. It just didn't.
Well, and that's not a very well-developed arc, let's just say that.
No, and all of a sudden he's like, you know, towing the company line of the Talamasca and wants to be like, I don't know. It was, again, another what the fuck. Christina, what was one of your WTFs?
What the actual fuck is going on with Rowan's outfit in the mausoleum?
Yeah.
Okay,
because she has that, like, you know, medieval shift on during the sex scene after the sex scene with Lasher.
Right.
She's in bed and that's what she's wearing. But then all of a sudden Cortland says, let's take you back and clean you up and dress you.
Yeah. And he puts
her in that same shift.
Yeah.
What the actual fuck? I feel like that had to have been some kind of continuity error. It doesn't make sense. Like, there is so much that must have happened. Maybe there's some scenes that were cut out. Yeah. I don't understand why that outfit.
And it's not like she had it on when she was having the bulk of the dreams sequence, right? Like, she wasn't wearing that in real life. Mm-hmm. And you could say, oh, subconsciously, she knew she had it on or something. So it seeped into that. She was still in the forest in her regular street clothes when that whole dream sequence started.
Yeah. And he said, you know, I'm going to change you, but why is she wearing something from the Middle Ages?
Well, that's a great question. And that's going to lead right into my, what the actual fuck.
All right. What the
moment.
Actual fuck, Mark.
So, okay. They're walking through that tunnel that apparently we've seen 35 times and just didn't realize it. Esta. And there are runes on the wall. There were no runes being used in 17th century Scotland. They had like actual Roman alphabet at that point.
Yes.
The runes stopped around 600 or so, if that late even.
But Lasher says that's his language.
Yeah, but now are they just now inventing that now Lasher is from Norse mythology?
Maybe. And here's why I say this, because the history of witchcraft, there is a new/old theory that the women who were accused of witchcraft and that we think of as witches from that time frame were actually practicing an ancient religion. And it could have been, they could be suggesting that it was tied to Druidism something like that. But yeah, I agree. It was like, you know, just like, let's make things even more. There's Latin. If the words, here's the thing. Yeah. If the words that call Lasher are Latin. In Latin, why was it not in Latin? Why was it?
Good call, Christina.
Good question. So my only guess is that, you know, they're doing a crossover with the Tolkien universe.
It's so wild. It's so
all right. Joni, give me your next what in the actual fuck moment.
I think everybody had this what the fuck, the lack of crossover. And I don't want to hear that it was a joke. I read numerous articles where Esta Spalding talked about it. We've seen her talk about it at the end of like episode one or two. I don't know. I don't know if she lied. I don't know if it got cut.
Okay. So in that spirit, I have an announcement.
Was it you?
In an upcoming episode, we're going to have a very special and famous Australian guest.
Mark, we weren't supposed to announce that yet.
Can't say more than that.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
He can only be on at night, though.
Keep listening, people.
Yeah, that's right. Eventually we'll get there.
Yeah, probably.
Might.
Could I? Might.
That's totally not
no,
true.
No, come on, though, guys. Like, seriously. Like, I feel so let down and used.
Yeah, if only they had, tricked. Like, some sort of online communication ability that they could say, hey, by the way, for everybody speculating about a crossover, that's really something we're thinking about in season two or whatever. No.
Right, right.
They let like, it go because they're like, we are desperate to get reviewed. I mean, renewed.
All right, Mark, what's another one?
Rowan comes out of the crypt. She's holding this almost translucent blonde baby boy. And Cyprian Greve, in the worst case of a naive father since Joseph and Mary, is, oh, that's our baby. Who, by the way, Cyprian is a pretty dark-skinned guy. Genetics would dictate that it probably wouldn't come out looking like an Aryan poster child. Mm-mm. Okay. But Cyprian's like, yep, that's my boy. Well, is it though?
I mean, Cyp, are you sure?
I mean, at the very least, maybe do a double take. You know, it's like, I was expecting someone a little more tan.
Yeah, it was, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
And that's one of the things that I see, I've seen all over social media is, yeah, is people saying that. And as a matter of fact, let's look at what some people said when we asked this question online.
Yeah.
Stephen Bell, who is at Alchemy Potato.
All right. I
had
like it.
A, nice. Had a kind of the same comment as you did, Joanne. He said the entire season, or perhaps an entire season, what the fuck, is trying to figure out what Sip's role even is supposed to be. He felt a bit forced out of character at the end. Like, he's been nothing but empathetic with Rowan all season right. long. And then suddenly he's willing to turn her over to the Talamasca.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even buy Rowan at the end. Like, all right. of it seems amiss to him. So I agree with that. Like, a big what the fuck is, what is going on with these characters? Talk about it a little bit in character arc.
You know, I didn't write it down, but I saw on there, there was a thread. I think either Dynamis at 1000 started it or Creative Spoonie. And it was just a bunch of people talking about the season overall and what, it, you know, what a disappointment the series is. And I'm like, this thread vindicates me. Like, I felt so seen in that moment. I'm like, these are my people and they've heard me.
Right. Well, you know, and Adrian, who is at Adrian Amadis, at Adrienne Amadis, says, definitely Albrecht wiping Odette's memory because the Talamasca must be a secret.
Right, with all their business cards.
Then deciding, never mind, let's kidnap her to be a wet nurse. Yeah. She's like, she says, a wet nurse. She all capped yeah. it. A wet nurse. Is it 1856? Ever heard of formula?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, right?
Similac, possibly.
I mean, my God.
Enfamil, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, but part of the whole thing in Lasher, though, is that he does breastfeed.
But he needs it from a Mayfair witch.
Right.
Which Odette ostensibly is not.
Is not. And then now maybe we will find out. And they red herring this.
I'm going to bet we never see Odette again.
Maybe not.
Or her titties. Okay? Never again.
Well, and here's a what the fuck that kind of stems off of that for me, which is last week and throughout the season, we've been hinting at there's this terrible thing that Sip witnessed. We didn't get any kind of closure on that. We don't know what he witnessed.
Oh, right.
Gaping hole.
We don't know. That's out there still now. Maybe they'll answer it in season two, but I have a feeling they'll forget. All right. And then at Kaito, it's at KAITOKIDDO07 says, also JoJo panics about Rowan and Cortland and the truth of Rowan's birth, but then just let Sip leave so that she can sit and have tea with Dolly.
Yeah.
And that's true. Uh-huh. Like, JoJo is just like, there's like,
what was in that vape, JoJo? Was it just kicking in?
No one seems to. Oh, that sounds really good. No one seems to really have any kind of strong convictions.
No,
here.
They're like just leaves blowing around.
Nothing rattles them.
No, it doesn't. It's like, oh, this,
well,
you know, JoJo.
Except for Rowan, everything rattles Rowan.
Like a young witch, the young Tessa dies, and they're like, whatever, where's Cortland? Like, that's all, like, they just don't care. Like, is Tessa's mom going to be, like, all attitude-y if we ever see her again? Because, you know, she's dead, or is she just going to be like, well...
Well, you know, she's got a bunch of other kids.
Yeah, but Rowan, Alicia does, but Rowan freaks out if, like, the crusts aren't cut off at lunch.
E pluribus unum.
Mijo Winnie!
I mean, she really overplays a lot of things.
The thing is, if you're going to go camp, you can go camp. But instead, you just came off as shrill and frantic.
Look, you know who did camp? Sam Reed, you know, with the head. You know, tickets, please. Like, that was camp.
Yeah. That pulled was. It off.
She's just not in that caliber.
She is not.
And I don't think she was trying to be camp. I just think she does not know how to play this character.
And I don't know.
I don't think the writers know how to write this character.
It's
both. It's both. I'm telling you, I'm not impressed with her acting skills.
And here is my final what the fuck, and I think this ties into what we're kind of hinting at here, and that is, what the fuck? What the actual fuck, Rowan? Are you a powerful woman, or are you a woman who needs the power of a man to be a powerful woman? The thing that has been lost in translation between the book and the show that is, to me, unforgivable...
Is the power of women,
is Rowan's strength.
Yeah.
In the book, yes, Lasher is involved in this, and she does, you know, he's her helper, and she is also in thrall of him. But she is a successful, powerful woman who takes off in boats. And I mean, she is painted as someone who is very independent, very powerful. Right. And in this series, she is none of those things. The only thing that codes is meant to make her look powerful is that she
can kill people with a glance.
But also that she's in charge of her sexuality.
Right.
She goes and she has sex. So that's kind of where they've rooted her power in this. And that is certainly an element of her power in the book.
Right.
But in this series, right from the jump, she kowtows to the head surgeon,
right,
in a way that doesn't happen in the book, and it didn't need to happen here. She should have been shown as a very competent, respected. She was extremely respected.
Well, and we said that from the first episodes, like, show us competent Rowan first.
Where is that Rowan?
Her world is going to get rocked and she's going to have some problems, which she does in the book, right?
Yeah,
but
she's not constantly crying, right, and screaming.
Show us competent Rowan who is out on the sea by herself.
You're right, Mark. We have been saying that since episode one.
Episode one.
Right.
Remember, and I even said too, I'm like, I'm not buying that she's a neurosurgeon. I never, and I still don't buy it.
No, she's too confused.
And that's the acting. That's not the writing. That's the acting.
It is the writing though too, Joanne.
I also think she just is in over her head with this character.
Show me anything in that writing where they have provided her a position of strength. They haven't.
Right.
Except that she kills people.
Yes.
And that's except it. That she has sex with people.
Yeah.
That's the only, you know, she's sort of
sex. She's a praying mantis.
But she's only having sex with the people who are taking care of her. Right. Sip rescues her. She has sex with Sip. Lasher's giving her power. She has sex with Lasher.
The bartender's giving her free drink. She has sex with him.
Right. She's getting upgrade from well to, you know, the top shelf.
I don't understand where her power is coming from. Well, I do. You know, all of her power now comes from Lasher. It's a lot.
So since this is the last episode, guys, maybe we should skip the standout character because this was a pretty messy episode and go with the equally messy character arc. But just maybe like just our, you know, main characters, like maybe Mark, you want to start with Rowan?
Yeah. So I think if you track the progress of each of these characters and you like mapped them out, it looks a lot like if a large flock of geese hit a 747. Like they're going along, they each have their paths, and all of a sudden they're sucked into the engine and spit out as feathers on the other end. That's what I think is the character arc.
Fair.
So Rowan's arc has gone from kind of timid, stumbling a little bit even, neurosurgeon. Then she went to rejecting all things witchy, right? It was just too much for her. She couldn't handle it. Now she wants all the power. Now she's Sauron. Or no, not even Sauron. She's Saruman. Mm-hmm. She wants the power, but is being corrupted by it because it's being controlled by a more powerful dude. That's, I think, where she is right now.
An evil sex demon is an how you described him demon. Last week, which I think exactly is ideal.
It was exactly what he is.
I mean, I hate to agree with you, but I do.
I know you do. You really hate that more than anything.
I do. But I mean, you kind of nailed it. She went from clumsy to, you know, clumsy neurosurgeon, which, you know, that's always what I look for in a neurosurgeon is clumsy and unsure. Then she was a clumsy, unsure witch. And now I'm just not buying that she's this confident, look at me with a baby on my hip, badass, witchy mom. I don't buy it, but that's where she is. And that's what we're left with.
You know, people who don't believe in evolution always complain about not seeing transition fossils. With Rowan, you don't get the transition fossils, right? You don't see the roots of where she is now very much in earlier episodes.
Like, it's just one way, and then the next minute, she's the other way.
Yeah, it's just lurching from something to something else.
Yeah. In the end, her lust for power is real.
Christina, do you know that she lusts for power because her character has told you that in her arc, or just because they're telling you that in the 5 minutes after the show?
Right. No, because literally Lasher said the words, you want to be powerful.
Yeah. And she's like, I thought I wanted cake. No. It's like, well, that too, but also power.
Power and cake, which again, legit.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want those two things? I would love to have power and cake.
And the thing is, it shouldn't have been that hard because you could have made a pretty convincing narrative where she couldn't save her adoptive mom and she wanted power to be able to do that. And she felt impotent in that case. But instead, what she did is she rejected power all the way through, was terrorized by power. And then all of a sudden, you know, once Lasher banged her, she flipped a switch and now she wants all the power.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. There's bits missing. And you are right. You don't see the transition fossils. That's an excellent way to put it, because you need those. You need those to be able to buy into the fact that something is changing and how it's changing.
Like, show me how she's moving towards wanting and needing
power. But
they
couldn't. They misused the time in the episode. Yeah. We have talked about it repeatedly where we say the pacing was off. It was too fast and too slow. All right. So who else? Let's talk about Sip.
Sip is a hot mess. Starts off as just this, I got to help protect the Mayfairs. Then he goes right into, you know what? I got to date a Mayfair.
You never saw how they fell in love.
No, because you know how they fell in love? In a demon caused fever dream.
Where they coached eggs.
They leapt right into all of a sudden, oh, they're dating now. Okay.
And I didn't even know they really had sex in real life. Till she was pregnant, by the way.
Yeah, they were really having sex.
I guess.
And he was stabbed.
Right. So that's not good.
I don't know. All right.
So then he progresses from boyfriend, and he's trying now to be a Talamasca guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Now he's trying to toe the company line.
Even though he knows and he tried to trick his boss, who's clearly got ulterior motives, and by the way, helped cover up a murder.
Yeah.
And he's fine with that. He's like, okay, well, you know, that's part of my job, I guess. Now, when I was first watching that, I'm like, okay, maybe Sip is playing him. Right.
That's what I thought.
He was initially.
Yeah.
But then
Sip would do.
And the thing is, you could make an argument for Sip to be that person at the end where he's just desperately trying to get in touch, control of that baby, because the baby is the rough beast. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the Antichrist.
Slouching towards Bethlehem.
He is. Exactly. And, you know, he can say, oh, well, the gyre sure is widening. Maybe I should try to get this kid away from her because it's dangerous. But they don't do the work. Mm-mm. They just show it and they're like, figure it out, people.
Yeah, because, like, you know what, Mark, the same argument that I can make about Rowan's arc, I can also apply to Sip's, that there's no continuity. It's just one minute Sip is one way, the next minute he's a different way.
At least have him say, you know what, I feel like Lasher as a baby is pretty dangerous. I'm now going to try to take him.
I think he was doing it to protect her, to save her. Obviously, we all know that. But it's not known. It wasn't known. It's, I don't know. They're,
He could have just said, hey, Luca Brasi.
I know.
My first child was a masculine child, but I have to now take him away and kill him. So can you help me with that?
Well, is he going to take him away and kill him? Or is he going to take him back over to the Talamasca?
Yeah, who knows?
It's really hard to know. It seems like once he was there and he held the doll parts, right, he then realized, okay, this is a rough situation. Yeah, Sip is a very confusing character to me. I never really liked him. I think that he's probably one of the better actors, which, by the way, AMC misspelled his name.
Yeah, I saw that.
What is happening, AMC?
Who's running their social media?
I don't know. I have never really liked Sip as a character. Do not get me wrong. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have combined Michael and Aaron.
Who cares about that? Yeah, but do it well.
I don't care. Do it well. Because if they had a Michael,
yeah,
then there would have been an understanding. They would have told the story of how Michael came about, right, and that, right, Rowan actually saved Michael, right, and that there's this connection and all of that, right? Like, they would have
taken six episodes.
They could have. They can't tell this story. And so, to be fair to them, they can't tell this story in eight episodes.
That's fine.
But they also could have used their eight episodes more wisely. Look,
anyway, they couldn't tell the story that they tried to tell in eight episodes.
No, they couldn't. All right, Lasher.
Honestly, Lasher comes out the best in this. Mm-hmm. He's the least confusing. He's always been pretty clear about what his goals are. Mm-hmm. He wants to get the girl. Then he wants the girl to be his mom.
And then he wants to get his mom.
Then he wants to get back with the girl. He's like, okay, I have experienced you on many levels.
I've been in you in many ways.
All right. So for me, Lasher, there's some, maybe inadvertently, maybe the writers are tripping over this, but I don't know, because they also did reference the poem for the title. You made the joke about it, but there is a very kind of quasi, not Christian. Well, it is Christian. Yeah, it is Christian, but sort of also this, like, the second coming, the Antichrist.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that's, so, I mean, look, that was the, using the Yeats poem as a metaphor for the apocalypse is really second only to using, Alice in Wonderland as a metaphor for things going wacky.
Well,
and this show has done them both. We're
right,
like, we're through the looking glass, and what rough beast is that? It's like, are there any other cliches we should? No, okay,
no,
is that good?
But that's a pretty good. I mean, that's a good
reference.
What rough beast? Come on, yeah. Joan Didion used it. She used, you know, the center cannot hold.
Right.
There's a lot in that poem that strikes. It's a very evocative. It is
brilliant imagery. Wonderful poems.
But Lasher, man, he is driven. He knows what he wants, and he is slouching towards Bethlehem.
He's like, I got a plan. He has a vision board, and he's got pictures of Rowan and like ropes and strings to all the other witches and stuff.
Yeah, but you know, there's just I have a lot of loopholes and a lot of what the fucks around a lot of his storyline. So, but I didn't like him in general. I don't know. I couldn't get into his character, and I think the casting sucks.
We are now at the point of our podcast, which I think really all of us enjoy the most. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the best magical moment in Witch Please.
Hands down, this is very easy. When she turned Cortland to stone, tickled my little witchy bone. That was a pretty cool trick. We did not know that she could do that. I think, what did you call it earlier? The Medusa trick. So yeah, I like that. What about you, Mark? What did you think?
Even though it was a little silly and clumsy, I'm going to say the journey through the Mayfair witches throughout the generations. I wish they had given us a little bit better clues for those of us who have read the book as to who it was. Like, was that Marie Claudette? You know, was that we know who Suzanne is.
Well, it was Julian because of Julian. The necromancy Julian, we know that was clearly one. Going on because, right, and it's a man.
Right.
You know, it was Antha because she said Antha.
Yeah. Antha? What? But give us like something, you know, identifiable for them, you know, like show them doing something particularly Marie Claudette, you know what I mean? Or something like that. But I like that. It's something they maybe should have done more of, which is connect the story back to the previous designees, mm-hmm, and the previous witches. Cool. You know, it was fairly interesting that the crypt was sort of like Doctor Who's TARDIS, where it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, because we saw the outside. It's about the size of a half car garage, right?
Yeah.
But she's wandering through there for like, you know, like 3/4 of a mile.
They're running around in there.
Yeah. So that was good.
Corwin's got a hiding spot.
He's got a hiding spot. He's peeking out. Yeah,
Christina, what was your witchy moment?
I think I actually liked when Sip was doing the flashbacks, when he was holding the objects. I thought that was cool.
They did some decent cinematography there, where they would, some do flashes, some would do that like thing where it would reflect it in his eyeglasses and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was decent.
Yeah, right? That was good. That would have been good to have done more of that, and connect us with the past. Tying back, even when Sip went back in time, it would have been really cool to see him immerse into memories in that way, and be able to like sort of have like tell a story within that flashback, in the same way that they did with Suzanne when he went back in time with Suzanne. But I think that's it. I like that.
The one big miss for me for Witch Please, in the books, the way Lasher gets revenge on people or punishes them is not by blowing on his hand and setting them on fire. It's by driving them mad, by showing them illusions. That would have been a way cooler way to kill Keith, is to torture him with illusions and then have him run into the swamp and get eaten by an alligator or something like that.
Something other than that. So,
that was not great. Mm-hmm. Just because that just makes Lasher pretty much omnipotent at this point. He can come and go as he pleases. He can control all the elements, apparently, right? Well, so he's every single Greek god that ever was.
He's extremely powerful, and yet...
But he says, now I'm going to be more powerful. Well, what more are you going to get? Well, are you going to be more powerful because
now
you can
be a man?
You can eat lunch?
Yeah.
I mean, is that your new great power?
Well, he can reproduce.
I guess. And well, that's...
Theoretically.
That's just what we need, more Lashers.
Yeah.
Joanne, what are your conclusions here for this episode?
I give it one through 10, I give it a 1.
Oh, wow. Very harsh.
That's a little harsh.
I'm being aggressive because I'm massively let down about the big, you know, crossover. I think we were, a lot of us, myself especially, was holding on to that, hoping that would incite some sort of excitement, and I waited patiently for it and nothing happened. I also kind of think that Estes Spaulding, this is my theory. You know, there's like supposedly this 2-hour episode. I think Esta is listening to our podcast and she heard me say that Lestat was going to be the crossover, that they were going to get the baby from Odette. And she was like, screw that podcasting bitch for ruining our surprise. Now nobody gets the surprise.
That's right.
So I think I was right.
And they just deleted it.
They're persecuting me. It just was done poorly. Everything was done poorly. There were too many weird things going on. And I just.
Yeah. And oddly, not enough. Not enough weird things. And also too many. It's just the inconsistencies.
Yes. It's way better. More descriptive than weird things. But yes. My final thoughts are, I'm glad the season is over. I've enjoyed having this show to recap it and dissect it. I'm really hoping that the writers, the showrunners, the actors, all the creative, sit down and really take a hard look at the series and see if they can change something.
Okay, so my final thoughts are, the end of this season was very disappointing. I hope that next season is going to be better. I wish that they could actually just scrap it all and do a total redo. That is not likely. They won't do that. I know they won't. I just don't know how they can fix this mess. I don't know how they can do it.
Well, wasn't there an entire season of Falcon Crest or something that was just a dream?
Dallas. Yeah. Bobby woke up and it was just a dream. Maybe they could do that. That maybe this would be like Rowan's fever dream. And then they just start all over again in San Francisco.
Just joshing. I think it was great. I loved every second of it. No, I would do it again. No, 10 out of 10.
No.
No. I mean, look, I can't complain too much because it did give us plenty of excellent material to do a pretty entertaining podcast.
Yeah, it was fun to have conversations with you guys.
8 to 10 weeks.
But we should not have to find it entertaining only after we have a conversation in the depth that we have this conversation.
They certainly didn't hit a bullseye here. There were some good moments in this. There's, I mean, you know, certainly Cortland and Carlotta were very well done characters. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's hard to say that they didn't really just kind of drop the ball, mm-hmm. you know? And we're hopeful, we're supportive, certainly, mm-hmm. because our podcast does better if the show does better.
So yes, but we also have vampires, so I'm not worried.
Right, they'll be great. Yeah,
vampires are going to be good.
That's that. Yeah, so we kind of... I'll have more to say, obviously, when we do the season recap.
Yeah, for sure. Well, guys, that is a wrap on Mayfair Witches Episode 8. That roast beef, or what roast beef, or whatever the name of it was. Hope you guys had fun listening to us. If you did, please share us with your friends and always follow us on social media. You can find us at Vampire Insider on all your favorite little platforms. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Vampire_Insider. And we invite you to follow us on our personal Twitter accounts. Christina is at Christina Gen X. Mark is at Mark Eats Peach, and I am JustBlockMe_1. Thank you guys. Have a good night. If somebody ended up dead in my clothes, the first question I'd ask is, how the fuck did that happen?
This family is very...
These are not intellectually curious people.
They're very blasé when it comes to murder.
When it comes to death and murder, they're like, happens. What's going on with the designee?
Hey, guys, group text. We lost another one. Oops. Anyway, anybody down for some Starbucks?
I was laughing, Mark, when I saw that it was a Telemaster card. I'm like, oh, God, Mark is going to be like, how many business cards does this secret organization have?
For a secret organization, there are millions of Telemaster cards floating around.
They probably have a damn website.
I mean, honestly, there are probably people who have, like, wallpapered their bathroom with Talamasca cards. It's like, yes, we've talked to you, remember?
Every time a Talamasca member goes into a bar and they're giving away, like, free lunch, just drop your business card.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, and for the 10th week in a row, the free lunch is won by the Talamasca.
They're always watching.
That secret organization. Kept right by my secret door.
I bet it is. The revolving door.
My revolving door, yes. It's like the size of, like, you know, like the car showrooms. That's the picture that. That's the door.
And that's not only that.
It's so easy.
Mark, if I don't make you uncomfortable, what am I even doing?
I don't need a giant bay door imagery
here. It's a bay door, exactly. It revolves as
roll-up door.